This is VOA News. I'm Gene Randall. At this hour, U.S. President Donald Trump is scheduled to address the nation on television. This a day after Iran's twin ballistic missile strikes in Iraq, which apparently produced no casualties. The attacks targeted two Iraqi airbases that host U.S. troops. The actions came amid Iranian threats to retaliate for the American drone strike that killed Qasem Soleimani. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei called the strikes a slap in the face to the United States and said that military action against the U.S. was not enough, that the real revenge for the killing of Soleimani will be to force America out of the region. The former U.S. ambassador to Iraq under President Obama, Christopher Hill, says President Trump has an important decision to make on the issue of troops in Iraq.
If the Americans leave Iraq, that will be a huge victory for the Iranians and also a defeat for us in the sense of our ability to fight or to deal with ISIS. So that's a key question yet to be answered.
AP's Zaria Shackley now reports on world reaction to Iran's missile launches.
U.S. officials have said there are no immediate reports of U.S. casualties. British Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab has condemned the Iranian missile strike and has urged Iran to refrain from further military action. China's foreign ministry is expressing concern about the spike in tensions in the Middle East and says it hopes matters can swiftly cool off. Germany has condemned the Iranian missile attack, and Defense Minister Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer said the government rejects this aggression in the sharpest possible terms. I'm Zaria Shakili.
An Iraqi militia commander killed alongside Qasem Soleimani in last week's U.S. airstrike was buried in the Iraqi city of Najaf today. Yesterday, thousands gathered in his hometown of Basra to bid a final farewell to Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, the deputy commander of the Iran-backed Popular Mobilization Forces. More news at voanews.com. From Washington, this is VOA News. As the world ponders the meaning of Iran's missile attacks, Thomas Warrick of the Atlantic Council says those strikes, which avoided American areas at both Iraqi bases, were carefully calibrated.
So it appears as though the Iranians chose to respond with surface-to-surface missiles in order to make a very precise point. They were trying to retaliate, but in a way that they controlled, so that rather than doing it through one of their proxy militias, it would be in the hands of the IRGC commanders and the Iranian Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei. So it's clear they wanted to try to control what was done.
Iranian-American political scientist Mohammad Marandi says Iran does not want war with the United States.
It is the Americans who began this. The Americans tore the nuclear deal and began this economic war against ordinary Iranians.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says there were no survivors from a Ukraine International Airlines plane that crashed after taking off today from Tehran Airport. The flight was bound for Kyiv and was carrying 167 passengers and 9 crew members. Authorities are investigating what caused the Boeing 737 to go down. Iranian state media reports cited mechanical issues, but there has been no official confirmation. In the meantime, the airline is indefinitely suspending flights to Tehran. Escalating U.S.-Iran tensions are complicating South Korea's possible participation in an American-led maritime coalition to protect international shipping in and near the Strait of Hormuz. There are increasing calls in Seoul for the government to reject or at least rethink Washington's requests that it join the naval force, amid fears South Koreans could get caught up in a U.S.-Iran conflict. The situation is delicate for South Korea, which views Iran as an important potential trading partner. There has been another bomb attack in the Somali capital, Mogadishu. Reuters reports that 11 people, including 3 women, were wounded today. The blast occurred at a busy road junction in an area of government buildings. There was no immediate claim of responsibility. Last week, close to 100 people were killed in a Mogadishu bombing claimed by the Islamist militant group Al-Shabaab. Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido entered the country's legislative building Tuesday, 2 days after the ruling Socialist Party installed its own parliamentary leadership, the latest development in an effort to gain control of Venezuela's last democratic institution. Self-styled interim president Guaido and a handful of opposition lawmakers forced their way into the National Assembly after a standoff with President Nicolas Maduro's security forces initially prevented them from entering. More news at voanews.com. Gene Randall, VOA News.